Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Friday. Welcome into the Early Line right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. It's Donnie Wrightside today, along with Mike Blewett on, yes, a football Friday, but let's remember, Major League Baseball playoffs do start today. Good morning, Mike Blewett.
Worlds colliding, Donnie. Playoff baseball and it's a football Friday, as you said. So excited to get through all of it. It's a tough start to the program, though, because we got to talk about that absolute catastrophic Monday night, Thursday night football performance last night.
Yeah, a lot of times we would spend an entire segment on an exciting football game in primetime, whether it's Monday night football or Thursday night football. But last night, my goodness, a game that could put you to sleep and promptly put me to sleep as well. 12-9 final as we begin the 7-7 here. The Indianapolis Colts go on the road and take down Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos. I just want to get, Mike, your initial thoughts on this. Was this a pro football game that we actually watched?
What I said to you before the show started is we obviously have seen a long trend of these Thursday night football games not being that exciting, for them being low scoring. We're going with a lot of unders, and clearly as we get through the year, they get a little bit tougher to watch. The players are more tired, they're more banged up. But playing the game at altitude 3 days after they played their last one seems like a terrible idea. And it occurred to me basically after the first quarter, it's one of those situations where you're like, oh yeah, they're playing in Denver. It's even harder to do this and acclimate to a game when they just played three and a half days ago. So here we are with a game that had no touchdowns. Shout out to all of you out there that bet no touchdowns scored and made a 100-1 shot, but I wasn't that guy. And I'll say Matt Ryan and Russell Wilson are going to catch a lot of grief, but Ryan is running for his life. And Wilson clearly is not comfortable in this offense at the end of the regulation. Here's the stat that everybody needs to know. There's a bunch. But with a 6-3 lead going into halftime, in the second half and overtime, the Broncos scored exactly 3 points. Three.
Brutal. And by the way, before the season started, Mike, you probably would say, whoa, Colts, Broncos, Thursday Night Football, sign me up at this point, which brings us to our next thing. I mean, what is up with Russ? Russ was signed to be the missing link here for the Denver Broncos. Russ was signed because in the past 2 years, boy, the Denver Broncos got a lot of talent here, Mike. On that offense, they just need a quarterback to be that point man. They get Russell Wilson, give him all the money in the world, and this is what we're getting. Last night, I don't even know if this is a joke. Both quarterbacks listed with a zero QBR rating. I don't know if the guy just watched the first half and goes, you know what, I'm not even going to rate the rest of this game, put them both at zeros. But what is the deal with Russell Wilson here?
He's clearly not comfortable with whatever this offense is, and this is a really tried and true West Coast offense. It's not like he doesn't have the weapons, but we don't see any movement out of him. There's no splashy plays, which we're accustomed to seeing. 21 of 39 for 274, two picks, one a crucial one at the end of regulation where they're effectively trying to score a touchdown to put the game away, but can just kick a field goal to put the onus on the Colts to score a touchdown, which they did not do the whole night. He throws an interception, a terrible interception. He looked down the wide receiver, threw it right into the hands of the defensive back who made a really nice play, but people are saying, just like the Super Bowl, not even close. That was a much worse throw than what happened in the Super Bowl.
Absolutely brutal game last night as we move forward and welcome in the radio audience here. Sirius XM Channel 159 right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Mike Blewett, Donnie Wrightside on the early line, getting you ready for an exciting weekend of action. And why? That's going to start today. How about this? MLB Wild Card Friday, four games spread out throughout the afternoon and evening. And yes, Mike Blewett, my Philadelphia Phillies are actually playing in the playoffs for the first time in over a decade, and I am excited.
We were here a couple of weeks ago. It was a little nerve-wracking. We weren't sure they were going to be in, they were going to be out, but they hung in there. They held off the Brewers, and here they are. I'm excited for the Phillies. Obviously, the fans are really fired up. You're fired up, so it's a good day to be on the early line.
Hey, I got a quick question for you, too. The New York Mets, we've talked about all summer long, when they get to the playoffs, number one starter, let's just say Max Scherzer, number two right behind him, Jacob DeGrom. The Mets coming out and saying right now, we're actually not sure who that game number two starter would be. If it's me, it's going to be DeGrom, but they're not sure. Any quick thoughts on that here, Mike Blewett?
Yeah, it seems like a touch of arrogance. Look, we should just try to get through the wild card round before we start worrying about setting up our pitching. And I still heard some people say, well, even if Scherzer loses, maybe we put Bassett out there in game two and hold Jake for game three. If the Mets lose, it's got to be 100% Jake.
Wow.
And I think I would pitch Jake anyway, because we're not starting the wild card round until Tuesday, right? So, or is it Monday? No. We start the wild card round Tuesday. So Tuesday. Yes. And then you'd be able to set it up for Max and Jake again. I don't think it's unreasonable to pitch Jake tomorrow. I'm surprised there's even a debate, but maybe the Mets figure if they win, they hold Jake for game three. I would still pitch Jake game two to get it out of the way and get more rest.
Absolutely. Some other quick topics here. Brady on NFL parody talking about, I'm watching a lot of bad football. And this, Mike Blewett, was before Tom Brady probably sat down and watched the game last night. The NHL puck drop overseas. We're already at the NHL season. And how about this one? France wants Joel Embiid. I don't understand international, you know, rules here of why players can just play for other countries. But hey, France wants Embiid. Why not let him happen? Stay tuned here. Major League Baseball playoff coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the early line on a Friday morning edition. Football Friday, yes. Major League Baseball, Wild Card Friday, absolutely. It's Mike Blewett and Donnie Wrightside here in the morning. Let's get to it. Four games on the schedule today, Mike. First game is going to go at 12:07 p.m., followed by 2:07, 4:07, and 8:07. So if you have the day off, you're looking to relax, looking to pop the TV on, Major League Baseball has you covered all day long. Let's take a look at the first game, 9:45, 9:46 on the rotation. Tampa Bay and Cleveland, that's McClanahan, the lefty on the mound, who was the Cy Young leader in the clubhouse at the FanDuel Sportsbook for the majority of the summer, going up against Shane Bieber. This line opened up, Mike, at a minus 132 price, and now we currently sit here at a minus 120 price here for the hometown team, the Cleveland Guardians. Check out this total. Opened up at 6, Mike, now sits at 5.5. You heard that right. That's not the first five innings number. That's the full game, 5.5. Some thoughts on this game for you, Mike, between Tampa Bay and Cleveland.
It's a pretty wild number, but welcome to playoff baseball. Obviously, two big pitchers here. You and I talked earlier about how the Rays starting pitching overall is better than a lot of people suspect. They have a deep bullpen, but starting pitcher pretty good as well. McClanahan was in the Cy Young race for a long period of time this year, and he goes up against Bieber, so runs are at a premium. Who's the only team that hit less home runs in this playoff pool than the Tampa Bay Rays? Their opponent, the Cleveland Guardians. So not a lot of pop in as far as homers are concerned. Teams trying to manufacture runs in October is important, but can they manufacture more than six? Problem is, Donnie, when the line gets here, if you've already missed the movement, it means you need a 3-2 game, a 3-1 game. That's a lot to ask, but on a noon game right out of the chute, maybe batters will be a little bit more nervous and fail to get wood on the ball.
Yeah, no doubt about it. If we're taking a look at the Cleveland pitcher on the mound today, Shane Bieber going up against that lineup for Tampa Bay. I mean, his numbers are great. Weighted on base average to lefties over the past month at 272, to righties at 214. Why is that important? If we line up the ISO power numbers for the last 30 days for the Tampa Bay Rays, just against normal right-handed pitching, not even elevated right-handed pitching, only one guy, Bethancourt, a 196 ISO power number. So maybe that 5.5, which sounds crazy, actually makes a little bit of sense here. Let's keep it moving. 207 start, 941, 942 on the rotation. The Philadelphia Phillies and the St. Louis Cardinals. It's going to be Zach Wheeler against Jose Quintana, the left-handed pitcher. This line opened up at a minus 108, roughly at Pick'em, and that's really where we sit today right now. A minus 112 price with a total listed across the board at 7. This series we expect to be close here, and maybe the pitching advantage over the first 2 days might be the starting pitchers of the Philadelphia Phillies. Give me some thoughts on Wheeler and Quintana, what you think about the Phillies and the Cardinals.
Don, it's going to be difficult for me to sit here with you with the Phillies finally making the playoffs.
Don't you dare say anything
them.
Bad.
So I will not be picking against them blatantly. But I would say, I would frankly ask you a question. The bullpen was so bad in September, over a 5 ERA. It's why they were potentially slip sliding out of the playoffs. Do they get a little shot here of adrenaline as we go into October and start to turn things around? Because it isn't really going to matter how good Wheeler and other starting pitchers are if the bullpen can't get it together. The Cardinals are that kind of team that will take advantage of a weak bullpen and win games late. We've seen they've done this historically, and this team obviously is a team that has dangerous hitters on it, not just Goldschmidt. So do we feel like the bullpen is really just going to rear its ugly head here in this wild card series?
You know, it's funny you bring that up too, Mike, because usually you would say that, right? Maybe the deficiency of the Philadelphia Phillies is the bullpen. You know what I'm actually more worried about? Now, granted, we don't have pitchers batting here in the playoffs because obviously we have the DH now in the National League. It's a very good looking 1-9 lineup for the Phillies, but they have the propensity sometimes to go run and hide and go in streaks where they don't score 2 runs over a 4-game stretch. You can't do that in the playoffs with all hands on deck. That's actually what I worry about a little bit more. But if this is one of those series, if we're picking all 4 of them, one of those where you expect to go 3 games at least, probably is going to be the Philadelphia Phillies and the St. Louis Cardinals. Looking forward to that one today. 4:07 start, 9:43, 9:44. The Seattle Mariners coming and taking on the Toronto Blue Jays. That is Castillo versus Manoah in this game. Opening line here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a minus 148 price. It's now dipped down to minus 136. So maybe a common theme on the day, Mike. Some of these favorites getting bought down and people starting to ride with the dog at the plus money. 7s across the board. I actually like the pitching matchup today for Seattle, but if we're looking at talent in the lineup 1-9, the one thing we need to see step up here certainly are those Mariners bats, Mike.
No doubt. And I think it does make sense that people, and certainly sharp players, are going to be on the dogs in the playoffs. You know as well as I do, the Major League Baseball playoffs are really unpredictable. That's just the reality of it. You look historically at the teams that have won. It's not always a straight line as to who's going to match up in the CS and ultimately the World Series. And I think this is a situation where the Jays lineup is awesome, and I think they could be dangerous at any point in the playoffs. But when I look at the 4 teams that are the favorites, and it's all the home teams, I think the Jays are the ones that I'm most concerned about. Like Castillo comes in here and pitches a gem and gets the Jays on their heels, and the Mariners get a win early against Alex Manoah, I feel like they could ride that momentum. And I'm not swept up in the emotion of the Mariners making the playoffs for the last 21 years. I just think that they could be dangerous with Castillo here. You're right, the bats have to be there, but one pitching performance, good or bad, either way, I think swings this series completely. And I think the Jays are the ones I'm most concerned about today.
Yeah, Phillies and the Mariners are breaking those long streaks of getting into the playoffs. We'll see if that gives them a little bit of a charge here. And also keep in mind, some changes that were made during the Major League Baseball season, not particularly on the diamond, but off the diamond. The Toronto Blue Jays and Canada, for instance, you know, waiving some of those restrictions here on COVID. If you did get your shot, if you didn't get your shot, that was an issue during the regular season that we saw. Yeah. No longer an issue here in the playoffs. So maybe a little bit of an extra boost for some of these road teams if they have to come into Toronto. 9:39, 9:40, the primetime game tonight. 8:07, first pitch, live from New York. That is going to be the San Diego Padres and the New York Mets. Yu Darvish going up against Max Scherzer. If we line this game up, Mike, how about this? An opening number at the FanDuel Sportsbook, minus 200 in the favor for the Mets, now down to minus 156 at a live number. And how about this? The total opened up at 6.5. That one also down to 6. Extremely low numbers here, but it is playoff baseball. This is big because it's only a 3-game series. The winner of game one is going to have a huge advantage. Are the Padres up, Mike Blewett, into knocking off Max Scherzer tonight in your mind?
Not in my mind, no, but I do understand why people are betting into the value of a team being $2 in the playoffs. So we all know these are low-scoring games, and one play either way can change the outcome of the game. So I understand why people are betting into the Padres, but I just feel confident in Scherzer. I'm not saying that Darvish doesn't also have a good performance, but I just feel the Mets are highly motivated after missing out on the AL on the NL East crown. I just think they're in a really good position. I just feel good about Max. I hope no back injuries or anything like that creep up, but I feel the best about Max today pitching at home.
You know, it's a good point you actually bring up, Mike, because some of those things where you just try to break down the X's and O's of the game itself and, you know, some ERA and how these batters match up, but also take a look at the Mets. Didn't do themselves any favors here. Neither did the San Diego Padres, where you're lining up saying, okay, I win this series. You know who you got to go on deck against? I mean, you're going to take on the Dodgers. So not only if you're the Padres, you got to beat the Mets, then the Dodgers, and still probably wind up, let's just say, with the Atlanta Braves. Tough road here for both of these baseball teams. And also from a perspective, you expected to win that division, where maybe you had to sit back and, hey, man, let's have a couple beers and pizzas here and watch some of these wild card teams duke it out while we sit back and wait and set our rotations for the next series. That's no longer the case. You're playing. But also, many of us have certainly said, and rightfully so, doesn't matter where the Mets actually wind up. As long as you have Scherzer and DeGrom healthy when the playoffs start, that's all you're looking to do here. So some fun stuff to take a look at. 4 games, as we said, on the Major League Baseball docket. It all kicks off at 12:07 with the Tampa Bay Rays and the Cleveland Guardians. But it's a Football Friday here on the Sports Grid Network, and we got you covered. The NFL on deck. Let's get it started. Come on back with us. It's the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is an NFL Football Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network and right here on the Early Line. We got you covered. It's Donnie Wrightside and Mike Blewett here in the morning. If you're listening, thank you on SiriusXM channel 159. We're back over in the UK, Mike Blewett, and that's for a game early morning action Sunday, 9:30 a.m. Eastern kickoff, rotation number 451, 452. It's the Giants and the Green Bay Packers. This line opened up at -6.5, so slightly south of a touchdown, but has risen throughout the week. Now, we've actually seen this high as 8.5, but the FanDuel Sportsbook now sporting a -8 with a total that opened up at 46.5, now showing 41.5. A lot of things going around in this game. How do teams play when they go overseas? You know, what do we expect? But more importantly, who is actually healthy here, Mike, for the New York Giants?
Yeah. Daniel Jones all banged up. We saw him leave the game dealing with an ankle issue. The thing that the angle I really wanted to attack were Giants totals and trying to go under, but they're so low right now that that's not even an angle I want to go after. Their first half total is 7 points. Their game total is 15.5. So those are not unders that I can feel comfortable taking, even though I think there's a really good chance that they don't get there for the game. So my angle here is attacking the under in London. I think that the Giants are just not going to get you there. Obviously, there's always going to be a possibility where the Packers just blow it out. But the Packers are playing at one of the slowest rates in the entire league, 31st in the league in pace of play. It is very different than what we saw a year ago. They really are relying on Jones and Dylan in order to get them there. And I think Rodgers is utilizing this time to try to get more comfortable with the receivers. Perhaps they can increase pace of play in the back half of the season. But right now, they are taking the air out of the ball. And when the Giants are not going to have opportunities to score, I think that leads to an under all the way around. I don't know if it's that ugly, but heck, even if it's 27-10, that's a really comfortable win, and we're not getting to the over.
Yeah, if we're taking a look at the team totals here, Mike, on both of these teams for this game, the Packers listed at a 25, which is actually pretty low facing the Giants, but you're right. The pace of play is extremely slow for the Packers, and it's not because they actually are doing that per se because that's the only way they can score or be functional on the field. They're doing it because you look at the teams they're playing. They don't have to go fast. They're not in up-tempo games. They're playing teams with bad quarterbacks and no wide receivers, such as they did just a few weeks ago against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Giants' points in this game listed at 16. So when we look at the starting quarterback on a couple lists, it says Daniel Jones. But my question to you, Mike, is I understand, like, Tyrod Taylor's going to make the trip. I don't think he's going to play after getting rocked with a concussion last week against the Chicago Bears. Daniel Jones left with an ankle injury. Now, normally you would say to yourself, well, if it was Matt Ryan with an ankle injury, what's the point? He moves just as fast with an ankle injury as he doesn't because he's just a pocket quarterback with no chance to scramble. So much of this Giants offense under Brian Daboll has been rolling Daniel Jones out of the pocket left and right. So if you're going to put him out there maybe in harm's way where he can't use his elusiveness, which is basically the key to him, his game, and also the Giants offense, are we left with Davis Webb? Are we worried about the starting quarterback heading into this game Sunday morning?
1,000%. I think it absolutely is why I'm leaning towards unders on the Giants. I just think the numbers are too low. It's why I'm betting the under in this game. I don't think the Giants can be competitive offensively, even if they make some plays on defense. The only thing that surprised me about the Giants so far this season, obviously that they're 3-1 is somewhat miraculous, but their defense has played a little better than I suspected. But related to that, Donnie, is they haven't played any good offensive teams. They played the Cowboys, and the Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb ultimately ended up doing what he wanted in that game. But playing the Bears, you're playing teams that just cannot score points. Titans, they've grinded out wins, and to their credit, it is not wins that they would have grinded out a year ago. I just don't think they can score points here. I think it doesn't matter if Tyrod is in there or if Daniel Jones is in there, but I think it would be worse if Daniel Jones is in there because he's not going to be mobile enough.
It's one of those things where I joked with Kevin all week long. I don't know whether to praise Brian Daboll or say, boy, what a bad hire he is, because he was brought in to fix the offense, and I think it's a miracle that they're 3-1, but also at the same time, hopefully we can get this offense really in gear. I don't think it's coming this weekend overseas against the Green Bay Packers. We'll see how that one plays
out. But what is the offense outside of Saquon, Donnie? What is
nothing.
It?
It's wing Galladay's, T. Like they should
Galladay
go wing T.
Retire, and Sterling Shepard is out for the year. So now what? Wandale Robinson's been hurt. There are no options.
Kadarius Toney. Yeah, all of them.
Hurt
like
too.
That's what I'm saying. Like the wide receiver, it's not even that I had a great offensive structure already coming into it. You hurt your quarterback. You have no wide receivers. It's all up to Saquon Barkley. It'd be a shame if he gets the ball 35 times in this game. And then you say, oh, look, he got hurt as well. Where would the Giants be after that? But you got to use what you got when you have it. And there's not very much to be used here for the New York Giants in that game. Seattle and New Orleans down in the dome. Seattle coming back from a game overseas last week, which they lost to the Minnesota Vikings. 453-454. Geno Smith, the red hot Geno Smith. And maybe if we're looking at, maybe Geno Smith should have went to the Denver Broncos as opposed to Russ here. And the Seattle Seahawks actually have an offense this year. Pretty impressive. But here's the question. This line sets up at a -6.5 where the opening number was at the FanDuel Sportsbook. We're down to 5.5. The total in that mid-40s range. But the questions, again, as we just talked about the New York Giants, who's coming to play for the Saints? Landry banged up. Michael Thomas banged up here. Quarterback Jameis Winston hasn't even taken the practice field in over 2 weeks. So I guess it's another start for Andy Dalton. Just some crazy times here where forget about handicapping the game. We're just handicapping who's actually going to get to the starting line here, Mike.
Yeah, no practice for Jameis and Michael Thomas yesterday. Like you said, Landry banged up. At the beginning of the year, I was not as bullish on the Saints as a lot of other people were. I think the loss of Sean Payton was a lot greater than people were giving it credit for being. I think there's plenty of talent, and I think ultimately that if the Saints are going to turn this season around, they're going to do it defensively. They need some more health on offense, obviously, but they need to just really strangle teams defensively. Geno's the best story in the NFL this year, I think. It's still being a little underrated, but he's been really good. He's being cocky with reporters. It's a lot of fun for him. And I just think 5.5 points is too many. It's an ugly line, And we still have to remind ourselves that the Seattle is not a good team overall, and they are traveling a long way to play a road game. So there's not a lot of reason to really be confident in them. We're riding the Geno wave. I'm just taking the points because I think it's too many. That's really the bottom.
You know what
line.
I like about this too? Like betting on these type of teams, Mike, you take a look at Seattle. Same thing with like Detroit. Hopefully Seattle can continue on offense. And a team with a really bad defense tends to get some points, whether each direction you're playing. Foot on the gas pedal is certainly what I like to see here. Foot on the gas pedal in this next game? Maybe not. 455, 456. That's Houston and Jacksonville. Davis Mills versus Trevor Lawrence. This line opened up at 6.5. Now we're seeing 7 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total 43.5. It's simple for me in this game. The Jacksonville Jaguars looking to take that next step. You know what that next step is, Mike? Beating the teams that you are supposed to beat here. They're still young. They're still learning how to play football. New head coach Doug Peterson. Let's see what they can do. But the one thing I do know, Houston has been scrappy. They might not beat you, Mike Blewett, as I like to say, but they'll play you close into the fourth quarter, apparently.
Yeah, even last week against the Chargers, they lose by 10, but that game's not a blowout. You know, they lose a game by a touchdown in Denver, a game that they almost could have won, a field goal to the Bears, the tie to open up the season. They have been really competitive. However, the one thing you find a lot of times, Donnie, with these teams that we expect to be really bad, this team's going to be really bad. It's season, and we're going to look at their record, and it's going to be terrible. They could be the number one pick in the draft. Is that when they're hanging in there, there's only so much juice, I think, that the players have. And at some point, the bottom falls out, and they just get run over. I don't know if this is the week, because divisional games are tough to bet into when you're seeing touchdown plus spreads. It's not a position I like to take often, but the Jaguars coming off a tough loss, I just wonder if this is a time for them to bounce back. They have a home game. The only upside for the Texans, they have a bye next week, so they can put it all out on the field. It's just a tough position because it's 7 points. Even if you gave me a hook back, I think I'd take the Jaguars, because I think the Jaguars get a pretty comfortable win here. I just feel a little uncomfortable about the divisional matchup. The Jags play at Indy next week, so they're going to keep rolling with these divisional games.
Yeah, take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook here. In the division here, the Indianapolis Colts did jump the Jacksonville Jaguars. Why? Because they beat the Denver Broncos on the road last night. They currently sit at a plus 150 price, talking about the Colts to win the AFC South, the Jacksonville Jaguars at a plus 170 price. So if we're looking long-term here on this Jacksonville team, obviously you would want to beat a team in the AFC, in particular a team in your own division, and they can do that with Houston. Your long-term prognosis here, Mike, of the Jacksonville Jaguars, let's just say they do hold serve here at a minus 7 point favorite here at the FanDuel Sportsbook and win this. Do you think they are live to win this division, or are you expecting, you know what, the Titans will get it together, maybe the Colts will get healthy? I just can't trust the Jaguars just yet. 22-23 outlook here on the Jags. They win this game. Do you think they can win this division?
Yeah, I think they can. That performance last night by the Colts was, despite the fact that they get the win and move to 2-2-1, the performance by the Colts was more discouraging than it's been. I know it's tough to play a short week in Denver, but Matt Ryan's getting killed. And people are going to blame Matt Ryan all year, and they can, because he hasn't looked good. He's fumbling the ball like crazy, but he's getting killed. They can't protect him. They have a left tackle that shouldn't really be out there. And I think it's impacting the way the whole offense runs. The Jaguars, I think, have a real opportunity to be pretty good this year. And then we'll have to see long-term. Signing all those free agents generally gives you a one-year bump and then doesn't mean anything after that.
9-8 might be able to get that division done here in a 17-game schedule. We'll see and find out in the future of who wins that division. But I want to spend some time on this next game, Pittsburgh and Buffalo. Come back after the break. We'll talk about it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back here on the early line, hour number one, Mike Blewett and Donnie Wrightside here on a Football Friday on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Buffalo Bills going to tangle in Orchard Park this weekend. 1 o'clock kickoff, 457, 458 on the rotation. Kenny Pickett getting his first start in the NFL. What a way to do it. by taking on one of the better teams in the NFL on the road in the Buffalo Bills. This line opened up, Mike, at a minus 13 and a half. We're now seeing at the 2-touchdown limit of minus 14 with a total that opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a 48, now sitting at a 46 and a half. Before we get to the game itself, do you think the right move was made here, Mike, where Kenny Pickett is now your starting quarterback?
Absolutely. I think that what's going to be difficult for him is the Steelers' schedule. They've got the Bills, they've got the Bucks, they've got really tough games coming up. So this is a team that's 1-3 and has a chance to be 1-7. So I don't want to have any misgivings about the level of success that he can bring to this team. But I think he gave them a little bit of juice. I think there's parts of the offense that are still broken. I think it starts with the scheme that they're running and the offensive line that they have. But there's no shortage of weapons, obviously. And I think Pickett could hopefully unleash a little bit of that. I think he gets a lot of high percentage throws this week. Deontay Johnson and Pat Freiermuth will probably be primary targets there. But I do think the right move was made, yeah. So you could see in the second half, if you watched that game, and I watched every second of it, you could see that he gave that offense a little bit of juice. And he played well. The interceptions have to get cleaned up. But honestly, the first one wasn't his fault. I think Chase Claypool has to come down with that. And then the second one to Freiermuth, he's probably got to take a little bit of juice off of that ball to make it more catchable. Third one was Hail Mary. So overall, I think he played well, and unfortunately, they didn't get the win.
Yeah, Tomlin said we needed a spark at halftime, and Kenny Pickett certainly gave them that spark. They had the lead in the second half, weren't able to hold on against the Jets. It's just a tough spot here, and you're right. The next 4 weeks here, no easy trek. There are no gimme football games here for Kenny Pickett and the Steelers. It was interesting to see the way the Steelers actually handled Kenny Pickett in the offseason and throughout the preseason and who was going to be the starting quarterback, giving him some time to acclimate to the NFL. One would have thought they might be either redshirted him, which Mike Tomlin wanted to do, or maybe bringing him in after the bye week, that soft landing spot against the Saints. But he's in the fire right now, and he's got to perform, and we'll see if he can do that against the Buffalo Bills, one of the better teams in the AFC. We'll keep moving down the list as we go. Another 1 o'clock game on Sunday, 459-460. That's the Atlanta Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now this line, Mike, opened up at 8.5, now sitting at 10. And once we got news that Tom Brady looks like he's okay, nothing to worry about with the shoulder, nothing to worry about the finger, forget about some of his personal issues. But on the field, it looks like the Bucs are getting healthy at the right time. Now, they did get pasted last week by the Kansas City Chiefs, but their offense did come alive. And if we're looking at the Atlanta Falcons coming to town, this is one of those games. Maybe it's a get right, because we don't expect Tom Brady and Tampa Bay to lose another home game, or do we, Mike Blewett?
Forget about Tom's personal issues? Big story, Tommy. What are we talking about here? My man might be single. That's big news. So what I would say about this game is that we have seen some struggles from the offense, slowly getting healthier. I don't think you or I are concerned about the Bucs long term. I think we expected their offense to get together. But the Atlanta Falcons, Arthur Smith, you have to give him a lot of credit. Between last year, a team that went 7-10 that was not talented enough to get 7 wins, and early this year, he's fired up, and I love that about him. But also, this offense does produce points. They got all kinds of injuries, and people are frustrated with Kyle Pitts, but they do scheme creatively and are able to get wins, able to hang in there against some other teams. The only other thing I would say about this is that 10 points is a lot in a divisional game. I do think the Bucs are a lot better than this team. I don't want to throw in around 10 points. 9.5, we'll talk. But I think the way to bet into these games, if you feel like you need to take an angle, is to just try to take the first half line. Don't mess with any backdoor covers or anything, because I think this Falcons team, to their credit, is going to keep coming. So the first half spread, I'm looking at it right now on FanDuel, 5.5. I think that's the way you can bet into it, as opposed to laying 10 points. It's a lot in a divisional game.
No, it certainly is. And also, one of those teams, too, that you take a look at, you said with Arthur Smith, they play hard. Like, they are going to challenge you, and they probably should have won a few games more than actually what they have now. But also, seems like the Texans, same thing with Lovie Smith. They might not be able to beat you or you know, they're not just going to go out there, roll the helmet out in the second quarter and say, oh, no, we give up here. They'll fight you for four quarters. But the issue sometimes come down to is what type of soldiers do you have out on the field? Kyle Pitts looks like he's probably going to be questionable at best to play in this football game. Cordarrelle Patterson will be out. So coming in a little bit undermanned in this game, we'll see the mettle of the team. But Marcus Mariota, you're getting everything you wanted out of signing this guy for the Atlanta Falcons. A veteran presence, moving the football, keeping you in games. We'll see if they can turn that into victories as the season does move along. Now, sometimes we talk about, Mike, offensively challenged teams and how it plays into. And quite frankly, the NFL hasn't been a thing of beauty on offense from any perspective outside of a couple teams. 461, 462. Why did we bring it up? Yeah, it's the Chicago Bears and Justin Fields taking on Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. This line opened up at FanDuel at a -7 price. We've now seen it go over 7 and is now up to 7.5, a total listed at 43.5. For me, coming home, maybe it's a little bit of a detriment that we talked about the New Orleans Saints where you fly back from the UK. Most teams get bye weeks after that. Neither one of those teams have one. So we haven't seen all that much of teams playing overseas and then coming back without a bye. Maybe that plays into a little bit of jet lag here for the Vikings. But speaking of jet lag, Chicago's offense has been jet lagged the entire season. It almost seems like a miracle when we get 150 yards passing. So my question to you is, if Chicago can win, what's the number do they need to score? They can't win this game scoring 17 points. You got to do something on offense for the Bears. How about it, Mike?
I agree, and I think this is yet another divisional game where we're laying a lot of points. We'll get into it a little bit later. I think the Vikings are a team that you can tease because I feel really good about them getting the W. Do you feel great about the Vikings? I think the Vikings are a frustrating team so far this year. I think a lot of us expect them to be a playoff team, and I think they still can be. But I think they're frustrating to watch. They're not as efficient offensively. There shouldn't be any games where Justin Jefferson disappears, but we have seen that. It's a really good point you bring up about the London game. I just don't know why consistently we're talking about themes like this. We're like, oh, you know, they could probably play after a London game. Why? Why are we making them do that? Why are teams not getting buys going into Thursday night games? This league has $20 billion worth of resources to figure out scheduling teams to make the product better. Forget that they don't care about the players. There's ample evidence to suggest that they don't really care that much about the players. How about improving the product instead of throwing teams out there with all kinds of travel issues? So on this game, I'm with you. I try to look at the Bears to bet under their team total, but the number is absurdly low. The expectations are they can't even score two touchdowns, and touchdowns happen by accident, Donnie. I can't bet teams when the number starts getting below 16. It's too low a number to take, but if there's one team I expect to score virtually no points this week, it's the Giants and the Bears, two teams that played last week.
It's amazing, too. Like, this is the NFL age of let's play offense, and everything is skewed in the offense's direction, but yet some of these teams struggle to throw for 125 yards a game. You're just not going to win many football games like that. And quite frankly, what do you want out of Justin Fields? They didn't really help him out all that much, Mike, in the offseason by getting weapons that surrounded him.
He went 11 of 22 the other day. It was the most completions he's had in a game thus far. It was 7, amazing. 8, 7, and 11. That's what we're doing. It's 2022. They don't run the ball that well either. So it's just going to continue. I think you can continue to bet unders on Bears games, but those numbers are starting to creep lower and lower. I think this total is at risk of going under because the Bears can't get you there. And we're talking about this Vikings dynamic. Justin Jefferson can go off, but he's going to score three touchdowns. I don't know. Like 28-10 is under. It could be a blowout. And it's still under. I don't think the Bears are going to get you there.
Yeah, one of those teams, too, that you look at where they're so offensively challenged that if you want the backdoor cover, hey, look at that. We're not even playing real defense out here. Take what we give you. And maybe the Chicago Bears can't even do that. Team total listed at the FanDuel Sportsbook here for the Bears, 17. Let's keep it moving down the list here and talk about disappointing teams. Seems like every game we're bringing up, somebody's been disappointing. 463, 464. Take out the Titans in this equation. It's really been the Commanders and Carson Wentz. What is going on down in Washington here with Ron Rivera's team? This line opened up as a slight favorite here for Tennessee at a -1.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. We're now seeing it at 2.5, and I would be surprised if that game might even go to 3 by kickoff here. So disappointing for the Commanders, but this line says they're going to be in this football game. But do we trust Carson Wentz? Do we trust this offense that is a little bit banged up now with Jahan Dotson at wide receiver, not going to play this week? And I just can't trust the Commanders. Therefore, Mike, I can't bet them.
No, turning the ball over. And on the other side, Donnie, the Titans are one of the most difficult teams in the league to bet for or against. They're always a tricky team to bet with. So this is probably the game on the slate that I'm having the toughest time with. I'll probably look for some player props in this one as they start to get released. And can Derrick Henry have a decent game? Washington's vaunted defensive line hasn't really played like that. So I think I'm going to look into the props market as opposed to trying to figure out who's going to win this game, because I do not have a good angle on it right now. I think there's probably more turmoil in Washington than there is in Tennessee, but Tennessee's just, I suspect that they can get more consistent over the course of the season. Washington just looks like a bad football team right now.
Yeah, 42.5 is the total in that game. And if we take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, the money coming in this game, it's overwhelmingly on the Tennessee Titans. If we take a look at the percentage of bets just on the spread, 82% here, Mike, coming in on the Titans. And if we take a look at the money out here on the spread, 81%. So roughly 8 out of every 10 tickets here coming in for the Titans. It's very scary when you see that, because usually you see a ticket count like that, and just take away the spread itself, you would think that this game would be a runaway. 6.5 points, 8.5 points, 11.5 points on a spread. This line opened up at 1.5, and we're still below a field goal here. So that does give you a little bit of pause.
Yeah, that's scary. That's people betting and hating on the Commanders. Everything I said, I think, is true about the Commanders, but it doesn't mean that I'm betting all my money against them. I don't think they're that level of team. The Jahan Dotson thing hurts, but do we really think the Titans have their stuff together in such a way that they're going to just get on the road and start picking up W's? I think Vrabel coaches a really interesting style, and he's aggressive at times and confusing at others. It's why it makes them so hard to bet. But if they control the ball, they should be able to get a W. It might be ugly, but it'll be the Derrick Henry show this weekend.
Yeah, quickly on this, we talked about the AFC South. You know, if the Colts can win it or the Jaguars can win it, the Tennessee Titans are a +240 price. To me, had a terrible offseason. You lose A.J. Brown, you replace him with a first-round draft pick, Treylon Burks. He's injured now, so the offense doesn't look all that effective. But they pick up a win here against the, you know, the Commanders. They're right back in this thing.
Yeah, agreed. I think they can be competitive throughout the year. I just don't think they have enough to stay there. But the team that I thought was going to win looks as bad as anybody. That's the Colts.
Somebody's got to win that division. That's what it always is. Could it be one of those under 500 teams where we always yell at the end of the season, this is why we should do seeding, and if you have a bad record, you should never get a home game. Trust me, it evens out over the long term. But that's certainly that division not giving us a lot of food here for fodder late in the season, predicting one of these teams is actually going to be good and viable to make the playoffs. But you know what? Teams are getting sued out here. The Patriots are being sued, not by Tom Brady or Gronk, but by a fan. Find out why next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick fun segment here before we hit the top of the hour and head into hour number 2 on a Football Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network. It is Mike and Donnie here in the morning, but I love when some of these news stories pops up. We take away from the gridiron to say, okay, let's get these X's and O's. Who's going to win? Who's going to lose? How about this one? Fans of the Patriots. Let me just read this to you here. The flag that is in question here, which features Brady's autograph in a blue Sharpie, is described as a priceless piece of sports memorabilia and a historical artifact. Vitaly, who owns the flag, loaned it to the Patriots and then got the flag back. It actually has a signature of Tom Brady on the flag. It came back a little bit faded. The player, Tom Brady, has moved on to the Buccaneers. When he got the flag back, he wasn't happy with it. So fan sues the Patriots because he believes the value dropped from anywhere from a few $100,000 to $1 million. This is where we're at here in the football landscape. Brady, the Patriots, we can never get this behind us, Mike Blewett.
So we're saying that the Patriots somehow created a situation litigated where they faded the signature.
Like they displayed it in a case that allowed the signature to be faded. Yes, is what he's saying.
That's entirely possible. In a previous life, Donnie, I worked in the memorabilia business
there
20
you go.
Years ago. That's entirely possible that that could happen. But whenever people start throwing around seven figures for the value of things, it's usually way off base. So I would just, if I were the Patriots, I would just arrange to get another flag signed and just give that to him. That's no skin off their back. I'm sure Brady would do it. This is no priceless item. It's a replaceable flag, and Brady can get it signed. So just get him a new one. Forget the lawsuit.
My goodness, dear. My goodness. I mean, come on now, with $1 million in this stuff. By the way, if you were in the memorabilia business, what would you say? A Donnie Wrightside signed glossy photo. What's that going for these days? Give me a quick update.
Like an 8x10? Like an 8x10? Yeah, 8x10. I think it's priceless. Yeah. I can't even put a number on it. It's like Judge's ball. Go, man. And Donnie's 8x10 glossy. Just your headshot. Doesn't even need to be an action shot.
Exactly. Put that out on Twitter. What would you rather have? A signed picture of DRS or the 60-second home run ball by Aaron Judge? You decide. NCAA football coming up next.